Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Welcome back to the third lesson of the day, which is always the toughest lesson because everybody just had lunch and rest and so many other things, so we have to get back into the groove. Sorry for starting late, there was a technical glitch. This session is about customer care. And we will start with guidelines in customer care by Mahatma Gandhiji. We can have a volunteer to read out loud, please. Please, everybody, sit at the big table. There's enough space. There's less guests in the afternoon. We are not doing him a favor by serving him. He is giving us an opportunity to do so.
Okay. How many of you have run a business or running a business or involved in a business? Okay. So, I'd like to hear some of your realizations before we get into the guidelines on customer satisfaction. On what's your view on customer care and how important it is in your business and what's your personal experience on customer care? Is microphone up here? Can you come and pass it on, please? Just speak freely from the heart. You disclose as much or as little information as you like about what kind of business you deal with and how customer care relates to your world.
Yeah. I am a catering businessman. Actually, Prasadam Seva is being done through the catering business. Catering.
Catering.
Catering. So I've been in this field for a period of about 15 years now, mainly into large scale, like, you know, events and parties.
How many employees in your company?
I have a minimum crew, but then I always have people, about 120 people, who works on events.
Okay.
While I have a minimum role
Yeah.
on the minimum people on the role, but I work with
The
on
trouble is
average
outsourced.
outsourcing. Yeah.
So please tell us
So
about your experience.
in one sense, I'm very fortunate to be in this business because it's directly related to Krishna consciousness of serving prasadam. That's one thing. And customer care, of course, that's the topmost. Customer is our God. Like, you know, we have to treat them as our God. Otherwise, you know, in the present competitive world, if you don't care for them, then we are going to be the loser.
Any practical examples of positive or negative exchanges with customers which are striking in your mind in your 15 years of experience?
Yeah. Again, by the grace of Prabhupada, because the practice of Krishna consciousness, that gives it all gives good qualities in us. It's not we are good, but actually by the process of devotional service we get good quality. That definitely attracts being in devotion. I mean, we are not doing devotional service for getting business, but when we are present ourselves in a Krishna conscious way, it attracts the customers. That's a positive side. On the other hand, you know, because of sadhana and due to lack of managing the time properly, if we don't respond to the customers in time, and they also get upset. Like, you know, for me, I said, even if I get late, I'll only do my sadhana, then only I'll attend to any customer call. That's only my own mismanagement. Then I get affected. I mean, I'm also learning from that, actually.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Somebody else likes to share with the group their experiences in customer care, in their line of work, or professional or devotional.
Hare Krishna. So, we are in an electrical department, electricals, goods, and contractors. Over 45 years, we are in the field. So, particularly our concern is very well known for the quality and commitment. So, even if our customer, in our absence, if they purchase somewhere, again they will come for a quality check to our shop. And also, there is no cheating from our side. So, if they purchase whatever the measurement, it will be more. So, in our shop, there will be 102 centimeters per meter. We mark like that. So, we don't give, say, 100 centimeters. 102 centimeters we give. Generally, they cheat that measurement-wise. Like that, quality-wise, we are satisfied. So that even we get orders in the midnight also, we get some orders and morning it will be get ready and people will take. So that if we really we are genuine, our genuine customers are there, then we can get, customers are waiting for us. If we give satisfaction, they will be waiting for us.
Okay, what's your thank you for that? Somebody else likes to share? Yes, please.
I had been in the sales career. Sales has been my career. I started as a medical representative, distributing pharmaceutical formulations. Then I entered into marketing real estate. It's land, selling lands. And last landed up in showroom management, selling consumer durable goods. Whatever may be the field, customer is said to be the king, and he dictates the terms. And unless until we are going to fulfill his needs, take care of his interests, then nothing is going to work out. Even the smallest apprehension what may come up across in his mind can spoil the entire business. Like the smallest, in the sense, salesman or a demonstrator not behaving properly, or if you are not going to give them a value-added service for their convenience, it is going to cost the business. And of all the things, the toughest what I faced was at the beginning of my career, because the pharmaceutical marketing, the formulation was really a complicated business, whereby the manufacturer has to route his product through various channels to end the reach customer, the patient. So there, the first one is the doctor, the medical practitioner, who is to recommend the drug for the patient. He has to be satisfied. And to make the product available in the market, the channel of distributors has to be satisfied. And for the medicine to be available for the patient in the market, the medical shop owner has to be satisfied. And ultimately, the quality has to be maintained so that the patient who takes it and gets relieved feels comfortable. So in all these cases, wherever it is and whatever it may be, whatever may be the link in the business, ultimately it is the satisfaction of the person who is going to utilize it matters. So the end user is the king who dictates the term for the demand of the product.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. Very interesting. Now, I have two questions for you. Question number one, I feel a lot of times we have the attitude in our ISKCON society that we are making the terms here. Take it or leave it. you don't like it, get lost. Because we have a monopoly. We got the priceless treasure of Bhagavad Gita. We have gotten the keys to the temple president's office and to the hundi box. We have got the checkbooks. We have got the keys to the godown. We are in power. We are in control, right? So that means we make the terms. And the people, they are simply there to fulfill our needs and our requirements. And a lot of times what happens is that some people may stay with the company because that has a track record and somehow they're happy with the product, but they're not exactly so much happy the way how they're being dealt with, how the product is being given to them. Now my question to you is, do we have a monopoly? You know what a monopoly is? Monopoly? Do we have a monopoly on Bhagavad Gita? Or are there other people out there who are publishing and distributing Bhagavad Gita? Do we have a monopoly?
Yes. Yes.
We have a monopoly on Bhagavad Gita as it is.
As it is.
But there's so many other Bhagavad Gitas.
But as it is the monopoly.
As it is a monopoly. Not in the United States. There is other publishers who are doing Bhagavad Gita as it
no,
is.
No, there also I don't think anybody else is giving it as it is. So that is what gives the monopoly.
We in ISKCON also don't have monopoly on Bhagavad Gita as it is. Like we are facing tough competition from the Ritvik group also.
Okay. There is competition from other groups. There may be other publishers who will eventually, what's going to happen in 50 years or 70 years, Prabhupada's books are going to be out in public domain. For you who are not familiar with this term, public domain doesn't just mean out there in the woods, but it means that everybody and anybody can print them. Because usually 50, 70, or maximum 100 years after demise of an author, his works go into public domain. Which means if you like to publish the works of Shakespeare, or Mahatma Gandhi, or of whoever it is, Rabindranath Tagore, you can publish them. Nobody can stop you from a copyright point of view. So then your monopoly is gone. It's over. It's finished. Same thing happens with pharmaceuticals. At a certain point, or people make a generic, or they make a certain derivation, a derivative, a slight change in the manufacturing process. And the same thing, slightly different, comes on the market. And what happens, generally, they undercut the market, they wipe out the competition, because the customer is looking for, what was it? What was Prabhuji saying? For satisfaction. Satisfaction in terms of quality, satisfaction in terms of price, but mainly satisfaction in terms of dealings, in the way how they're being treated. And the whole chain has to work out, which means from the manufacturing to the wholesaler, to the retailer, to the end customer. There's a whole chain of people who are involved in the operations. And they're all interdependent. And you know, every chain is as strong as its weakest link. If you got a guy in the purchase department and he is playing up, he's got attitude, people don't like him. You got a guy in the storefront and he is not a nice fellow. Or if you have somebody in the accounts department, he's not doing his job properly. You will run into major problems in your organization. Now, we have a scenario where BBT sees it as its duty to print the books. They get the books translated, they get the books printed, they have them. Many times BBT doesn't see it as a job description of them to distribute the books. They say we are a publisher and ISKCON is the distributor. And there is this rivalry. You know what rivalry is? You've all experienced? BBT is saying, hey, it's not our problem. We've done our job. ISKCON is saying, hey, it's not our problem. We're doing our job. We have other priorities. So both are kind of like, you know, not talking to each other. You understand what I mean? They're looking in different directions because they don't see how they can each benefit each other. They don't see the synergy. Just as a scenario, you know, excuse me if it's not, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't fit, don't bother. If a BBT says, okay, we've translated the books, we've printed it, and they're there. Take them or leave them, these are the terms, either you like them or you get lost. And the temples are saying, hey, you know what? We don't need you guys, because we got a great temple, and we're selling life members, you know? 25,000 rupees a head, why should we bother? Ship books here, take them, later on pay them, some get lost, some get damaged, you know, so much moving around of goods. We just send our people with checkbooks and, you know, receipt books like that and business cards, little briefcases. And we're making our money. We don't need this whole book thing. So what's going to happen? You tell me what's going to happen. Have you ever seen this scenario happen? Does this scenario sound familiar to some of you? Have you seen this in certain temples around the world? What happens?
The distribution comes down.
The distribution comes down, the BBT's cash flow goes flat. After some time, they can't even keep the basic titles in print. You call up and they say, sorry, Bhagavad Gita, out of print. Sorry, we can't ship to you. Sorry, we don't have this book, we don't have that book. Why? Because we don't have money to print it. So if you want it, you pay us up front. Then the customer becomes even more fried and says, hey, why are we working with these people, right? Why don't we just print our own books? I mean, how difficult is it, right? It's not like magic, isn't it? You take this, you go to any publisher and you say, you know, give me a quote on this. How much, you know? You just print this. And he'll give you a quote because he's a printer. And he'll do it. And I've seen it in so many places. Now, what's the inherent problem with this scenario? Please, somebody tell me. What's the bottom line problem of this scenario?
Ultimately, BBT will be dissolved. Everybody will start printing on their own in any corner.
Prabhupada and Krishna is not going to be pleased. Because BBT and ISKCON are both in Prabhupada's chest. They're like part of his heart. And the blood has to be going in both chambers. So, if we're doing things not the right way but the wrong way, and we're bypassing the BBT, like I've seen so many times, people say, why should we, you know, spend 70 or 100 rupee? We can just make a little brochure, a little nice thing, put a few deity pictures, and we just sell that. We just give that to everybody. Or we start doing postcards and bumper stickers and calendars and, you know, laminates and whatnot. Now stop me if I'm going off the topic here. But we have seen it happen in so many places. Then BBT is suffering. Ultimately the temple is suffering because there's no more preaching. There's no more talk about Bhagavad Gita. There's no more enlivening. There's no more engagement for the brahmacharis. Because brahmacharis who go out collecting, they usually end up collecting for themselves. They usually end up getting married, they want a percentage, they get into the business mode. It doesn't work like that. So, that's why we have to scrutinizingly study the scenario and see who do we want to please. Every day we have to ask ourselves, who do we want to please? Now of course we want to please the customer, but we also want to please Prabhupada, we want to please Krishna. And they have given us guidelines in how to do this. Just like you have this Atiti Seva, right? You serve a guest, even if he comes unannounced. Like you get an order at midnight, you still try your best to process it so that the customer gets the goods. So, many times you go to a business and you feel like you're a botheration. You're like bothering them. Instead of seeing a happy, smiling face and having people who are, oh wow, Thanks for thinking about us. Like I heard one devotee, he said that customers might purchase products in other companies, but they'll still come to him to check whether it's good quality. So much they trust him. And so much they know that he is not what's the right word? He's not jealous, you know? That they're not scared to even go and show him, hey, look, I bought this, you know, at your competitor. Can you tell me whether it's any good? But they don't feel bad because there's no remorse. There's no bad feeling like that. So, number one, we do not have a monopoly. We should never think like that, that we own Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because that's Ishwaroha Mahambogi. I own, I control, and I enjoy. We are the servant. We are simply allowed to serve. And that means we are here on Krishna's terms. We have seen people come, people go, the names change all the time, like that. But Krishna is still up there, dancing, playing his flute. That's the one stable factor, the one steady factor. But all the names, they will constantly change. People are constantly moving. So instead of seeing ourselves as the controller and enjoyers, why not see ourselves as the servant? In whichever position we are in the organization, whether you're the director, the temple president, the CEO, the Sankirtan leader, the book distributor, the accountant, the driver, if everybody has the mood that I'm a servant, and as such, it is my duty to serve the customer. That means if somebody comes to your temple, any person who is there at the temple is ready, is willing, and is capable to give some basic information and reciprocation with that guest. That is required. Because many times people don't walk in through the front door and, you know, come during business hours and go through the general procedure. Many times they come in roundabout ways, and we still have to be able to deal with them. So it's not that we can just train our sales force, our people who are doing the marketing or doing the outreach. Everybody has to know how to deal with the customer. Because who is the customer? You tell me. Who are our customers? Who are the people we're dealing with? The people who are sent by Krishna and Guru? Basically, we're dealing with everybody. We're dealing with everybody, with the entire world. There's a whole lot of people out there. And there's too many people than to just have them deal with, you know, okay, you got to go to the office and talk with this guy because he knows. Or you got to go to the table because those boys, they know. Or you got to go up to the office and talk to the big guy because he really knows. Because that's really discouraging. How many times have you been to a company or to a shop or to an establishment trying to purchase something, and the salesperson knew less about the product than you? Has it ever happened to you? How did that make you feel? Very bad. Like, why is this fellow wasting my time? This is his job. He's supposed to know more than I do. Why should I listen to him? Why should I buy from him? He doesn't know what he's doing. So let me go somewhere else. Many times the attitude is, if we're not selling it, nobody's selling it. Isn't that the mood? The person won't tell you, oh, go three shops down the road, you know? My competition is selling it. But what does that do? That means next time, you won't step back into the shop. Because eventually you'll end up three shops down the road and you will buy from that person. And you will know that this guy is not trustworthy. Because he said, if I don't have it, nobody has it here. But if that guy tells you, look, I don't have it, but my friend three shops down, he has it. Next time, you want to go to this guy. Because he was honest. He was honorable. Now we might say, why should you do that? Why should you send people to the competition? You know, that's just bad business, isn't it? But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is your customer has to be served. And that means if you can't serve him, let somebody else serve him. Because the customer is king. Because the customer is the representative of God. That's why we treat him like that. So we are in the service industry. And being in the service industry, there are certain rules which are there, which many times we kind of tend to neglect. Because we feel that being blessed by the greatest gift of Krishna consciousness and of receiving Prabhupada's books, that we own the truth. And that's why everybody who comes here should be very grateful and very respectful. Now that's the truth. They should be very grateful and they should be very respectful. But we shouldn't be proud. Because pride usually comes before the fall. And Krishna is not pleased if he sees that somebody's proud. Any comments on this point? Reflections? Challenges? Critiques? This is one of the lessons which we just have more in a discussion way, you know. It's less frontal orientation. I know many of you are used in a classroom environment that the speaker, the teacher, he just delivers the topic and then that's it, you know. Take it or leave it. And he moves on. But some of the topics, some of the lessons, we have presented them in such a way that it's food for thought. That you think about it, you take out your five paisas, and you start to implement them. So anything you like to share or things which you feel that this is slightly off or not our case or controversial, please feel free to speak. We are in a safe environment and in a mature... Yes, please, first in the back and then up front.
In this age of Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to find people who have faith. And only those who have faith go to various places of worship. And among these people who are visiting the places of worship, very few get the information about ISKCON temples or our movement, and they come into the temple. So it is like a treasure what we are getting at our doorsteps. And we are going to lose them by our negligence and carelessness. I don't think anything else will be better than that. So we must make all our efforts to honor this honorable guest at our doorsteps and try to fulfill their needs. Not by just giving membership forms, but trying to really find out their needs, interests and concerns and try to fulfill that.
Thank you. Don't take me wrong, I'm not against the membership, you know, there's a program, Prabhupada started it, and it's got its validity, and it can be used properly. But there is always, to everything, there is always also a downside. Same thing with book distribution. There is a way how to do it, and there is a way how not to do it. So, I like that point a lot, you know. There's a lot of people who go to a lot of temples and to a lot of movements and they engage in a lot of activities and they've come very far if they're already at our doorsteps. And then if we turn them away, it's really unfortunate if that happens. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhu, it's many years my question. Today I have got this opportunity. So wherever I travel, I used to look bookshops to find our books, Prabhupada books. So particularly bus stands, airport, railway station. So bookstalls I used to see. So once I saw in Rajahmundry when a book trolley was having Telugu SSR. So this is the first time in my life I saw Prabhupada book on vehicle. So I become so happy looking that. So here I want to know one thing that either the BBT is a part of ISKCON or BBT is same like ISKCON, another stand of Prabhupada. What was
the last point? BBT is?
BBT is a part of ISKCON or BVT is separate and ISKCON is also separate.
As a legal entity, it's separate. In terms of devotees, in terms of purpose, in terms of mission and mood, it should be same.
Yeah. So for
this, Prabhupada has devised it to be separate for one very particular reason. He said even if ISKCON in certain countries might be banned or might be hampered or might not be successful, the BBT, because it's set up like a company, like a corporate, it can still do business there. So he didn't want that his book publishing would suffer because sometimes the religious activities might be obstructed by governments or political reasons.
Yes, Prabhu. Then it is very clear. So I'm so happy with this. So if BBT has its own role, it can do. Where there is a restriction, so ISKCON cannot be established, but BBT can do its job. In that way, why don't we, like many publishers, they are distributing books in every place. So as we, BBT, why don't we sell our books in bookshops, I mean, to make reach the customer, easy reach. Like earlier we were discussing that one more controversy, this public, you know, Krishna don't want to get sell. If we want to sell in outside, so it is not sales. In first session, morning session, we were talking that. So through devotees only it has to happen, then easily the books will be get moved. But here the another thing is, as BBT has its own way of, you know, production and also meeting the customer care. So it can be print in large and it can be utilized in that way so that the funds will come back to BBT. And also it will be very easy to expand ourselves. I mean, the books can be occupied. All
some BBTs are doing this quite successfully and others not. So, you know, like in every, there's about 6 or 7 BBT zones. So there's 6 or 7 trustees. And they all have their own way of doing marketing and how to deal with the bookstores. Because frankly speaking, most of the temples are not able to deal with bookstores in a very professional way. So the BBT has to do it themselves. But because the BBT in many places is a very small operation, it's like just a handful of people. And they're really busy just keeping the books in print, just translating them and getting them printed. The whole marketing side of it requires a whole other team, and that is usually non-existent, so they don't have that. But like in India, for instance, there is huge scope for distributing books in all these different ways. But then that means that some devotees should actually make it their career. They should actually go into these fields and work with the BBT, either for the BBT or work closely with the BBT to fulfill these kind of roles.
Yes, regarding this, one more. As Mataji, they told that other people also, Ritvik people also having book production, all those things. So particularly our location is very close to junction, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, it's a border. So we have to distribute at least 6 to 7 languages books in every, you know, in our area. So we have a very practical problem from ISKCON Bangalore, Radha Krishna Chandra temple. So now they are producing new books, taking separate, some portions from Bhagavatam and some compiling different and new books they are releasing both in English and Kannada also. But our customers, when they come to counter and they ask that particular name, do you have this book in Telugu and Tamil and like that? So this is the problem which we are facing. So that if BBT can take that kind of control, and also language-wise, we don't have the translations. Still in Telugu, we don't have full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we joined in ISKCON in 90s, so that time we had only 8 books in Telugu. And then slowly it is getting translation. And like that, we have very practical problems in our regional ways, so that...
I hear your problems and I feel very strongly for you. And I feel that it is a great blunder that even, you know, that even 30 years after Srila Prabhupada's departure, his books don't exist in some of the major languages. And we have to really get our act together in order to help the BBT to produce those books by distributing, because that gives them income, which they can again put into product development. It's just like, you know, in your shop, if you're only selling one item, then, and that is only moving very slowly, then why should you start having 5 or 10 or 50 or 100 items? Because your customers only want one item. So by our distribution, we can enable the BBT to actually do more. And also, you sit down together with your BBT people and you say, look, we have got some professional translators, we've got some editors, we have some part-time people, we have some people who would like to do a service full-time, like that. And in this way, everybody can work together. Otherwise, it's always, the mood is always like, hey, why don't you give us this? Why don't you give us that? Why don't you give us that? But our mood should be, what can we do to make it happen? Now, I see that competition is always a healthy thing. It's just like you. You got your store, like anywhere in India, in every city, you have like, I was just now in Pune, and around the airport, there's a whole street of guys who are selling marble. There's about 30 or 50 shops who sell marble. Now, why are all these guys in the same place? Can somebody explain it to me? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, so much competition right there on the same spot. Can somebody explain it to me?
For the customer to access it easily.
For the customer, the access is easily, which means if you need marble, you go to that spot, and somebody will have what you need. And also, everybody knows that competition enlivens the market. So the service becomes better. Price is better, more competitive. Product is better. Service has to become better. Because if you don't have it, the next guy has it. The next guy has it. So everybody starts moving. Huh? More sales for everybody. Because everybody in the entire region, in the entire area, who wants to buy marble will go there, to that place. So that means much more customers will go to that area. That's the logic behind it. Now, why is it that many of our temples and many of our devotees get very scared if they see some competition? Ooh, you know, totally frightened and shocked. How can this be? I would see it as an enlivening of the market. Because if we have the better product, if we have the better philosophy, if we have the better service, and we have the better everything, then why should we be scared? Why should we be upset? We should be happy. They're doing us a favor. So, these are all points which are very important to reflect upon. Yes?
I have a doubt.
Yes, please.
one statement. If you cannot serve customer, let someone else do, because customer has to be served. I'm still not able to place this within ISKCON context. How does it work with respect to us?
For instance, somebody comes, like I'm in Mayapur, somebody comes and he's a Westerner and he requires a little bit more service than the regular person who walks off the boat, the bus or the train, who is happy to stay in the kutir and pay 50 rupee and just, you know, go to the woods and do whatever he does. And he wants, you know, some sort of reciprocation, which he's accustomed to. Now the mood, the tendency still is, if we can't give it, nobody can. Now I don't want to get into details, but just, it's a very practical experience that our goal, our business is to serve the customer. And if we can't do it and we see somebody else can, then we should bring that person to that person who can give them the service. Just like if you're a distributor and somebody asks you something and you don't know it. Now you can either lie to them or you can tell them, why do you have such a stupid question? Why are you asking all these botheration things? Or you can say, you know what? I'm new at this, but I have somebody in the temple. He's very smart and I'm sure you would like to meet him because he's more experienced. You understand the difference in the mood? But many times the attitude is, if I don't have it, nobody has it. And that's arrogance. And Krishna doesn't like it. So, and the people don't get served, so they get turned away. Okay, we're moving on here. Customer satisfaction. This is a service and why customers go away. Can somebody read out loud with the microphone, either from your notes or from the board?
Customer satisfaction, it's a survey on why customers go away. 68% leave because of indifference towards the customer by the owner, manager or employee. A typical dissatisfied customer will tell 8 to 10 people about his or her problem. 1 in 5 will tell 20 other people. It takes 12 positive service incidents to make up for one negative one. Customer loyalty is worth 10 times the price of a single purchase, yet the average business spends 6 times as much to make new customers than to keep existing ones. Quality customer service is the key to success in any organization.
Any comments, any questions, any objections? I mean, this is pretty standard industry survey. This is like straight standard from the service industry. There's not much discussed. Now we might question, does this apply to ISKCON? Can we relate this scenario to ISKCON? Because after all, I'm arguing now, we're a spiritual organization, right? We're spiritual. That means we're transcendental to all this mundane stuff.
As you rightly mentioned, what we are talking about is about the mundane needs of a customer. But ISKCON being a spiritual organization and we keep dealing in the perspective of spirituality. So when somebody is coming to the temple, if we can understand that it is Krishna's arrangement, a soul which is matured enough to take up a service or to take an association or to extend an association to another soul which is already matured in the service of Krishna consciousness, then I think most of the problems can be solved. But unfortunately or fortunately, we are not able to come up to that standard when we are dealing in the day-to-day life because of our own disabilities and drawbacks. So if we can work out a system for this drawbacks to be taken up, then I think it should be working out nicely.
Like if you go back to our principles and values, what do you think would be the principle and value which would be related to customer care?
The first one also we can say that propagate Krishna consciousness.
Devotee welfare, accurate representation,
yes.
Ongoing training and education. Just to name a few. Long-term vision.
Customer care. Devotee
like what welfare. Are we trying to do here? Are we just trying to make a sale? Are we trying to get some money, to get some membership? Or do we actually want this person to be a friend or a devotee for life.
Actually, we are trying to facilitate a soul which is trying to come nearer to Krishna.
Okay. Please.
If we say that customer care or customer satisfaction is the topmost priority, there is a possibility that we may be derailed because our purpose is to satisfy Krishna. And part of satisfying Krishna is to satisfy those who are coming to Krishna. Now, there will be many materialistic people will be coming with so many expectations.
So many demands.
So many demands. And we may not be able to fulfill all those demands and expectations.
But it's impossible.
So, if we too much project on customer satisfaction, something which we cannot do at a particular stage, it's better to tell them that we can't do that than just accepting that and then, struggling with it.
So how are you going to tell them? What's the balance?
It depends on what they want. We have to speak truth.
Clear expectations.
Them. Yeah.
Like, don't sell people dreams if you can't provide even, Maslamuri. Don't sell them dreams that, yes, you will stay in 5-star hotel everywhere around the world. They will pick you up from the airport in chauffeur dream and limousine. Huh? Have you ever heard those nice stories? And then you get those people, hey, I was in America, I was in Europe. They had no rooms, they had nothing in some places. And then people are very upset. The mood should be under promise and over fulfill. Like he's selling 100 centimeters, but he's giving 102. So when they measure, they see, hey, it is more. But the point is, as Prabhuji rightly mentioned, the whims and the demands of the customer are unlimited. They're like waves in the ocean. They will never stop. So you have to know where to draw the line. You cannot compromise. We cannot compromise our integrity, our policies, simply for the whims of the customers. So sometimes mercy means saying no. Sometimes mercy means saying, this is not our job. This is not, take it back to the seven purposes of ISKCON. This is not what we're meant to be doing. Even though if it might be nice work, it might be really good, it might be really altruistic and social and the right thing to do, but it's just not our thing to do because we have to please Prabhupada and Krishna. And so many people may expect you to do so many things, but we can't run around and please everybody. Because what happens if you please everybody? You please nobody.
Like in today's society, that people expect us to do a lot of social work.
Yes.
Especially, catering to the needs of small children.
Yeah.
And that's not our main job. We may do it for keeping some kind of a reputation that we are also doing social work.
Yeah.
But it's not our main job. Our main job is to spread the glories of the Lord and doing Sankirtan.
Exactly.
But now the whole orientation is because there is a lot of pressure from the businessmen, from the people in general and
because
government.
That's what they understand. That's what kind of fits into their mindset.
Yeah.
Their pattern is very stuck.
And our devotees, they go out of the way to do these things and forget the main purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. They think this is spreading Krishna consciousness.
But my question is how we can do this, because you think we're going to beat the Swami Narayans? Or you think we're going to beat all those altruists and all those people who are distributing food?
We can't.
I don't think we're ever going to do that. I don't think it's going to happen. Because, they have a head start by 50 years or 100 years. And that's all they do. They don't do Mangalarti and, rounds and principles and philosophy. And that's all they do. That is their sadhana. And that's what the people like, mundane charity and mundane welfare work. But I have seen that if we spread the message of Bhagavad Gita, a lot of people will come forward and they will want to help in whichever way, which sometimes means prasad distribution, hospitals, social work, and that's fine. But we're not gonna sacrifice our philosophy or the integrity of our movement just so we can fulfill those people's objectives. Because our objectives should be clear. Thank you for that. Yes, here in the middle, and then I saw one hand also towards the back.
As Prabhuji rightly said, that if we cannot satisfy the customers, so customers, whatever they ask, we cannot fulfill their needs. We have to see as a principle, or we should not compromise also. A practical example was last month we were in the book table and one person came and he asked straight away do you have the book by the name How to Cook Chettinad items? No? How to cook some cooking book they want. I said, sorry, we don't have. So to satisfy the customer needs, I cannot run to the manager saying that the customer is needs how to cook some books, cooking books, that's mundane something. So we cannot put in a book table saying that to satisfy the customer. So as to satisfy the customer, as per our principles, we have to go by that. And moreover, Srila Prabhupada says that one should learn the technique of selling books without irritating the person.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
As Vedanta Chaitanya Prabhu was indicating, it is definitely not our business to satisfy all the needs of the customers, but within the ambience of spiritual upliftment, what Srila Prabhupada has told. We don't definitely allow our members to have their own habits and practices in the guest houses. We do follow strict rules and regulations. The four regulative principles are followed in the guest houses. We do give them restrictions. And many of our life patterns, they are appreciative about our spiritual endeavor, what we are trying to make out with the society.
Very good.
But still, the ambience, what you were expressing in the morning, like when somebody goes to the temple and he is made to run from pillar to post, from all the corners to get some little service. That sort of things you should not be. That is the sort of care what we are discussing about. I think that is what we are doing here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. So there is some basic guidelines on customer care, some do's and don'ts. I'd like you to read those as your homework, because there's a lot of reading and everybody can go through them at their own time. The key to customer care, I have found in every organization, lies in training, ongoing training. Because there is always new products, there is always new strategies, there is always new innovations, and people have to be trained. People have to know about these things. So there has to be constant ongoing effort of training. Like all of you who are in the field, you know, whenever there is a new product which comes out, the wholesaler or the manufacturer makes a training course and he calls the major salespeople or the major, his key account people, to explain to them, okay, this is the new product, this is what it does, this is what it doesn't do, this is how you have to introduce it in the market. Isn't that what happens? Yes. Ideally? Yes. So in the same way, when we are having new titles, for instance, there should be courses. Like how many of our devotees are trained how to present Bhagavad Gita? How many? How many took the course on how to present Bhagavad Gita? The Bhagavad Gita is our life and soul. It's our summum bonum. It's our substance, right? How many of our devotees are confident and competent to present Bhagavad Gita on its own merit? Because you know, here, different. In India, people may have an idea of what Bhagavad Gita is. Even that idea may be vague, it may be distorted, but they have an idea. But in the West, they got no idea, mostly speaking. So you could be telling the person, we're coming from here and we're going over there. And here, take this book and give me some money. And it works. Well, what's the problem with this kind of an approach? Anybody? What's the problem with this kind of an approach? If somebody stops you on the street and says, we're coming from here, we're going to there, take this and give me some money. What's the problem with this approach?
It is not the concern of the person where you are coming and where you are going to give the money for your need.
Eventually the person will feel like, what was he talking about? Like what is he will go home, he will open this book, and he will obviously see this is philosophy and this is spiritual. You know, this is something very elevated. So he can't connect really on the experience which he had with the person and the book which he got. And he will feel cheated. He will feel like that this person just played a trick on me. And you know, I just went along with it, spur of the moment thing, but I didn't really get an idea about what's going on here. And he will feel let down. He will feel that this person has let me down. And then his faith in the organization and in the book will be very much diminished. So we want to increase people's appreciation. We want to increase their faith. Which means sometimes you tell them things like, people come to Mayapur, because I live in Mayapur, so sometimes. So they say, hey, I want to buy land here, I want to build a house here. I say, hey, wait a second. How much time do you want to spend there per year? Do you want to go for a festival or for a vacation, or do you want to do real estate, or you want to make business, or what is it that you want to do? So you have to qualify their needs, their expectations. A lot of times people have a lot of different motivations. So ongoing training and education is the key in every organization. Now my question is, I'll get you. My question is, how much ongoing training and education do we have in our society? From the top levels of management down to our preaching force. How much education is there? Has any one of you passed the course before you became a book distributor, or you became a temple president, or you became a cook, or a pujari, or whatever? Or we just said, Prabhu, it's devotional service, you do it for Krishna, Haribo. Krishna will teach you in the heart. Right? That's what they told me the first time I went out to distribute. Luckily, I was out a few times and I watched devotees, so I got some idea. But some others, they just threw me in the water, cold, you know. They just said, here are the books will distribute themselves. And it was really difficult, you know. What to say, how to behave, how to answer all these questions. Because I didn't know. I hadn't read the books. I mean, I had read some, but not all of them. So, I feel that we're doing a great injustice. We're doing a great disservice. If we put people on the spot and we put them in a situation where they're meant to perform under pressure, under scrutiny, under intense circumstances, but we haven't given them the tools, we haven't given them the training which is required to actually do the job properly. And then what happens is, I don't know about here, but around the world, there's many countries where you have many devotees who feel a little apprehensive about book distribution. Who feel a little alienated. Because they feel, hey, this is rah, rah, let's do it, let's run. And it didn't really work. Maybe it didn't really work for me, it didn't really work for the other guy, maybe it didn't really work for our temple, you know. They gave us big quotas and said, you guys can do it. And then it didn't happen. Books were stuck in the go down. People went out, didn't get the scores they expected. Does this scenario sound familiar? Have you had some of those experiences? So what can we do to ensure that this doesn't happen? Because that's really unfortunate. We got the greatest gift, Bhagavad Gita. But because we're immature, we do not spend enough time to train our devotees in the art of presenting Bhagavad Gita. We just say, run. And then, you know, we have to deal with the consequences. Yes, Prabhu, you'd like to share something.
And just two things. One, what you just shared just now, the scenario of just go on the job. The reason for this is there's too much passion. Everyone wants to expand and expand and expand.
The passion creates?
Passion. More passion.
More passion. And probably what happens afterwards? What does Bhagavad Gita say? More the passion creates?
Ignorance later on.
Later on, ignorance. Intense suffering. Intense pain.
I think in our system there must be a proper accreditation that the leaders should really, because some of the leaders are here, and every year we do book distribution, the marathon. Everyone talks about numbers.
Yeah.
But no one talks about
training.
No one talks about training. No one talks about, there was no award for a devotee who sincerely endeavored. Might have not distributed a lot of books, but really endeavored with principles of book distribution. Really to please Krishna, to actually reach out to the conditioned souls. You might have not done a lot of books.
What do we reward?
How are we going to reward them? How are we going to recognize them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would suggest that we recognize the devotees by taking them seriously, by offering them some training. Like if you say, okay, marathon is coming, and in December, you offer a workshop.
On a weekend.
Where you say, we're going to have a workshop, and it's no sales, it's no running around, just us together. And we're offering this workshop on how to present a Bhagavad Gita on its own merits. Because if you want to participate in the marathon, this will really help you. And then you have something, what we just did today, you know. You line them up and you have them talk them to each other. You make some role plays and some groups and what you say and what you shouldn't say and how you react in this difficult situation, that difficult situation. And then people go out in the marathon. Do you think it would make a difference? So can we do this year? Is it possible? It's just planning, right? You got the year ahead of you, so you just plan it. October, November, put it in there. You make some modules, and you teach those modules to your congregational leaders. You certify them, and then they certify their congregation. Till everybody knows, in my congregation, everybody knows how to present a Bhagavad Gita. Everybody's confident, everybody's comfortable. And you go through the main books. You do the Gita, the SSR, the Krishna book, some of the small books. So that everybody is comfortable in presenting the basic 5 or 7 titles of Srila Prabhupada. I think that would go a long way, that would really help the devotees in their efforts to please Prabhupada by book distribution. That's something very practical we can do here. Now, how do we recognize the efforts of a devotee who has worked sincerely but has not been able to produce results? Does anybody have a suggestion? Because we are always looking for numbers, right? We're always looking for scores, bottom line. So how do you recognize the efforts of a devotee who has worked hard and endeavored, but maybe by his own capacity is not able to produce those results? What do you do here in Tirupati? You have so many nice devotees, some of the brahmacharis, a little bit shy, not so talkative, not able to distribute so many books. What do you do? How do you encourage them?
By having good relationships. If the leader has good relationships, he knows his heart, how this each devotee is internally working.
Just by the numbers. If we have relationship, we know internal. With what mood they are doing and all.
I can describe you a scenario in Hyderabad. About 4 years back, we had book marathon in which we distributed about 7,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And then we had a very big feast and appreciation program. And all those who are toppers, they came and then they took prizes, etc., etc. And the next year, that year we said, okay, Prabhupada said double it. So next year we'll double it. So the next year it was 14,000. We reached it, 14,000 to 15,000. So then again, there was a big program. What we found in that those 2 years is people were more interested in numbers. By hook or crook, they wanted to distribute. The next year, we completely changed. Next year, we said, no more prize distribution for book distributors. We'll just have an Ishtagoshti. We'll appreciate everybody. Immaterial whether somebody distributed 100 books or 50 books or 2 books. There was no book distribution ceremony. In the sense of, you know, giving like that kind of gifts. Although it has not produced the same results, it has produced 8,000 Bhagavad Gitas for books were distributed. But devotees felt very happy. And there was no that kind of unhealthy competition.
Mm.
And more amazingly, this time the number of people who came to attend our programs have increased tremendously than when we distributed 15,000 books.
That was the success.
That was the success.
Because everybody felt, I want to go to this.
Yeah.
I want to be part of this.
Yeah. And there were about 100 to 200 people came to the temple for joining Bhakti Vriksha program or Bhakti Shastri program, etc., etc. It was really amazing. It's a revelation for us. It's really a revelation for us. So first of all, we have to stop this big prize distribution ceremonies. Now, this devotee who distributed 2,000 books, let us give him a big, huge garland and something. Obviously, he will be discrediting that devotee who has distributed according to his own capacity. And we are trying to allure people with number. Of course, I'm not saying this is perfect, but it has its own advantages. Somebody can definitely try to say something. I would really request devotees to come up with some thoughts on this.
No, I really value your open statement, because I felt the same. You know, I've been number one and number two for so many years, and I felt it very artificial. Why are people giving me prizes and cakes? People who don't even know me, they don't know who I am, they don't know what it takes to do it. Like in Germany, in Heidelberg, in the 80s, they had the rule that if you're number one in the week, you get a big cake. But after I've been there for about 2 months, they stopped that rule. You know why? Because always the same guy got the cake. So, and I felt also, you know, it's like even in Mayapur, you do this thing and everybody gets the cake and the price, and then you go and you eat the cake. And I'm like, what is this? Let's just have a big kirtan and some prasad for everybody and some, you know, some sharing session like Ista Goshti, and everybody feels nice. How do you care? Whether you're, like, some devotee comes up to me every year. I don't want to mention names or places. And he says, you know what, Prabhu? This year, I've been number 56 in the world ranking. Last year, I was number 72. This year, I'm number 56. So, he wants to work his way up to be number one. And I don't have the heart to tell him that probably it's not going to happen. Because with this mentality, it's not going to happen. Because, you know, when we were number one and number two, our mood was not to be number one or to be number two. The mood was, every person who I meet, I want to give them Prabhupada's book. Let not one person walk by without getting a book. I don't care what the other people do. I don't care whether I do 50 books or 500 or 5,000 books. But every person I meet, I want to give them a book. Of course, when we were younger, part of it was also, let me do more than this fellow. There was some competition there, but it was on friendly terms, like me and Harinamananda. You know, we were very close. He has been number one for about 10 or 12 years, and I was number two. I was only number one for about 2 years. So, it was tough. You know, we call each other up during the marathon and talk to each other on the phone and ask the other person, so Prabhu, how's it going? He said, oh, bad, very bad, very bad, you know, it's not going good. And then you ask, well, how bad did it go, you know? And we would fake it, you know, like that. Just by the way how he talked and said bad, you knew how well he did. Then you have your informants and your spies, you know, to find out how many books they distributed. But there was friendly, you know, he's my brother. I live with him in the room for 10 years. We share the same room. We sleep together in the same van, going on traveling sankirtan together. So there is some chivalry, you know, there is some rasa there about competition. Like you can have that amongst your business people or even presidents amongst each other. Like that you have a little friendly competition. That's okay. But you know, there's a lot of devotees in our movement, they cannot handle this competition at all. It just stops right there. It's just finished. It's just over. They can't deal with it. If you get any of that sales jargon, you know, that sales slang, or that competition, or that heavy, let's go do it, numbers thing, it just stops right there. Because they think, and they think rightly, I've come to a spiritual movement, I want to practice spiritual life, and now I'm faced with the same thing, like I could be working for Airtel, or I could be working for, you know, God knows who not. So, we have to make sure that we don't turn away our most important people. Who are our most important people? They're our own devotees. They're more important. Even more important than the customer. That's a real asset. The devotees are our real asset. So what I feel is very important for the leaders, before you have a merit, we get into organization in the next few days. You know how to organize Sankirtan and Marathon? But then you ask them, what do you think? What we can do? What is realistic? What does everybody feel confident? What is a realistic target? Because it's good to have goals, but they have to be realistic goals. And if the mood is, let's just try and do the best we can, then that's what you should do. And if the mood is, let's do 2 lakhs of Bhagavad Gita's, then let's do that. But everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to feel that, you know, this is the right thing to do. Yes, Prabhu, you had a point? Or you were just stretching? Okay. Okay, yes, please.
Regarding this price distribution, so what is the meaning of that price distribution? We are valuing his service.
Yes.
So, when we are giving the prizes to the devotees, as you said, we are giving cakes, we are giving garlands, we are giving Mahaprasadam. Instead of stopping the price distribution, we should extend the price distribution like this. We should extend the price distribution ceremony like this. We should hear the realizations of that devotee.
Mm.
So,
and if people get a prize, let everybody get a prize.
Yeah.
Then everybody feels that they're part of the team. Otherwise, one person gets and the other person doesn't get.
Yeah.
And that creates.
That's why when we hear his realization, what inspires him to do so much book distribution? We are hearing from you, we are hearing your realizations. We are discussing among ourselves, what inspires Navin Nirada Prabhu to do such book distribution constantly for 15 years, every day 300, 400 books, so much score. What inspires him to do that? In that way we are hearing from you. So, instead of giving the prizes, we should valuing that service. It is not that just we are giving that prizes, we are valuing his service. And when we are giving the prizes, generally what we do, he did such book distribution, he is nice boy, he did so much score. Instead of that, if you recognize the Guru Parampara mercy in him, then it is very easy to engage all the people in that prize distribution. Because we are recognizing the Parampara mercy in him. Because he saw that valuable messages given by the Parampara is so much valuable, he is so eager to distribute that message. In that sense, he is distributing so much books, so many books. So if you recognize the person, if you recognize the Guru Parampara's mercy in that person, then we can, I think it is real prize distribution. It is a real. And we should hear from him. What inspires him to do so much book distribution? We are hearing from you. And you are telling that in one day I did 300 books, 400 books. So we are very much eager to hear from you. What inspires you to so much? So we are hearing from you your realizations.
So when the praise exhibition is going on, all these cakes, all these garlands, these are all nothing but valuing his services. And with that we should hear from him what is his realizations. And with that we should recognize the mercy, Guru Parampara mercy in him. We should not glorify him alone. If we glorify him alone, what other people will think? Everybody has their own ahankara. So he got first praise, he is glorified in front of all of us. Because he was empowered by Krishna, he is doing such nice book distribution. Such nice endeavors he is doing. So everybody think that if we say like this, no, this Prabhu is did nice book distribution because he was empowered by Guru Parampara and Krishna. Because of that he is able to do nice book distribution. And we should hear from him, we should hear his realization, and we should try to apply those inspirations in our lives also. In that way, we can engage everybody in that book distribution prizes, and in that way, that devotee also will not get any pride that I did so many books. No. By hearing that words, he can understand that, oh, I was empowered by Krishna and Guru Parampara, that's why I am able to do. So, recognizing the value, I think it is important, and at the same time we recognize that value with Guru Parampara's mercy. Because alone we cannot do anything. Because of the devotees community only we are able to do these things enthusiastically. And the second thing is, now not only in the marathon, throughout the year you should be enthusiastic. Throughout the year you should take as it is a marathon. In that sense, now it is good. So I think it is real book distribution. Not only in the marathon. If there is any mistakes in my words, please correct me.
No, no, no. Thank you so much for sharing your realizations. You've spoken from the heart. Yes, conclusion.
In our, actually we do the school competition. We also give prizes, first prize, second prize. But last 2 years we changed the pattern. Instead of giving first and second, third, we give all the top rankers, say like super excellence, like we give more prizes, then it will increase more, like instead of only 3 people get prize, but we can give like a 10 prize, 15 prize, and also this is a good point to take up their realization. It's very inspiring.
Okay, very good. Yes.
If one person doing some book distribution, some book table or something, some festival time and all. Apart from that, backstage there are a lot of devotees also working for that, serving. Somebody preparing prasadam, somebody transportation the books, and somebody by calling the devotees, please come and participate, that program is there. So these devotees also encourage them. Because they are all part and take part in that book distribution program. So everyone get encouragement there. Next time also they can become more and more involvement like that. Not one person, because that person did lot of bhakti bhujan, but back there are so many devotees are also helping him. In that manner we can encourage all of them, put a like a Ishtagoshti program and everybody call them and glorifying everyone's. Actually it's a teamwork only, it's not an individual work, it's a teamwork, team effort is
exactly.
There.
Exactly. That's why I like it here when you announce the scores in the morning. I like it. Because you say this is the team leader with his group, and that's what they have done. So instead of seeing an individual, you see a team, because it's a team effort. And in the same way, the entire Tirupati Yatra is one team. Hyderabad is one team, you know, Chennai is one team, like that. So in this way, it's a team effort. Because you may score your century, but if your team loses, you're still gonna lose. And nobody cares whether you scored 1 or 2 centuries. If you lost, you lost. So we have to see that we lose or we win as a team. That's very important. Because otherwise there is this culture of, oh, he's number one. Oh, he's the president. He gets all the recognition. He gets all the pictures and the fame and the nice facility. And everybody else doesn't get anything. So I agree. We should have prizes. We should have recognition. But they should be for everybody, and there should be sharing of realizations and appreciation, so that nobody feels like left out or feels like, oh, this is artificial, or what are they doing here, like that. Otherwise some, you know, bad feelings, some bad sentiment will come. And I've seen it happen in Mayapur. You know, formerly when we had the ceremony, the entire Mayapur was there. It was like thousands of devotees there for those ceremonies. Because you had all the GBCs and all the sannyasis and senior devotees, and everybody would speak. You know, there's a lot of katha going on, a lot of realization. And now it's two people who come and speak and a few cakes and everybody goes home. I don't know whether I have seen it in the last few years. But that's what happens. If you take the emphasis away from, you know. So it's very important that we learn from the realizations of the devotees what works and what are the pitfalls. Because you will be faced with the same scenario. People will say, okay, let's do a price distribution. Then some smart guy will say, okay, first three people or first five people. And then you have to know how to deal with it. Yes, Prabhu.
It was good to have a discussion on the part of recognition. But it is always nice to remember somebody behind the achiever. Mm. For example, the person who is coming first or the team which is coming first cannot have achieved that if the other people who are there in the temple or in the organization has not put up their part, played their part properly. For example, as you were telling in the morning, and if all the marathon team is going out in the field and trying to distribute the books, and the BBT says that they have only limited stocks, the printing, the process is not going to be planned properly and going to go, and the transportation or the prasadam service in the temple or something is not going to happen properly, the entire effort what is put by the distributors may come to naught. So this as such, the book distribution as such is an entire effort of the ISKCON as an organization to fulfill Prabhupada's desire. So in that, maybe somebody is blessed to have a major role and somebody to act behind the scene. But it is for the leaders who are trying to implement these programs to recognize all of them and properly put it in the right perspective so that none will be hurt and none will be left out in this effort of Srila Prabhupada's fulfillment.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, closing comment?
I was just thinking, let everyone compete with one's own efforts. Like last year I did 100 books, let us say.
Compete with your own self.
Yeah. That's much healthier than competing with other devotees. This time let me do it more by more depending on Guru and Krishna.
Well, it depends. Some need another person to compete because for them it's hard to compete with themselves. I know some of the boys, they just feel very strongly about this. Like also this price thing, some people really feel strongly about it. It's really a major driving point. Like some, they just do it for the love of God, you know. For them it's just, I do this for Krishna and that's it. But like you see it with salespeople. Some just see it as their dharma. You know, this is my occupation and this is what I do. Other people, if they don't see the incentive, if they don't see the bottom line, they don't see what they get out of it, they're not going to do it. So I would say, akama sarva kama va moksha kama dharadi. Whatever is your motivation, preach and distribute books. And eventually it will be purified. I know initially when I was a young distributor, I wanted to become the best. There's no doubt about it. And it was immature, it was selfish, it was fruitive, and I suffered because of it. But it was who I was, and it was part of me, and I had to deal with who I was. And it took some time, you know, but like when you're a teenager and you have this competitive mood, which is there in many people, you just have to do it. So if you would have told me at that point that, you know, there's no competition and there's nothing like that and you just do like as you like, I would say, like, what are you talking about? You know? So we have to recognize also that there is different personalities involved here. There's different natures, different ambitions, different motives. But we have to know how to bring them all together in such a way as not to, you know, hamper each and everyone's enthusiasm. Somebody might be a little passionate, somebody might be a little over enthusiastic, but I think the art of a leader is to encourage everybody, even the ones who are not so mature. Like I see, when I see sadhus or spiritual leaders, they never discourage anybody. Somebody comes to them and says, hey, you know, I want to do this big thing, I want to do that big thing. A leader never says, don't do it, you know, forget it. They say, yeah, go ahead, do it for Krishna. Why? Because they know that in the process of doing it, you will realize a few things and you'll become purified. And your motivation, your motive will become purified. So, ongoing education, appreciation, short break time, 4:30, yes, thank you for the note. Conclusion, any other point you wanted to make? Okay, 1, 2, and that's it.
During book distribution, we give much priority for the winners. And also, we see the good scores also. But at the same time, some devotees really they are sincere, and also with their endeavor, they are not able to do much book distribution. I mean, through them, with their whole complete endeavor also, carrying books for all 30 days, hardly one Bhagavad Gita or two Bhagavad Gitas and a few books like that. In such a condition, so I would like to hear some experiences in which way we are, taking them near and making them some more energetic to understand the situation. Comparing to my next friend devotee, he has done 100 plus books and I have only some 2-3 books. This situation, these rankings are there in every temple, in every place. So in which way we can help those devotees through words or anything, how we can inspire them?
Thank you. He's going to give us the answer. Yes.
No, what I was trying to say is, on the other hand, there is also motivation involved. Say somebody is occupied with so much other services and still is, if he's able to do and if he's recognized or announced or something, the only idea is to motivate others. Despite all the other services that he's engaged in the temple, still if he's able to do so many books, it's just a motivation to others. So in that sense, that needs to be maybe recognized or...
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to introduce the concept of the car park. We have some unfinished business here. We're going to park it in the car park. So we'll draw up a car park and hang it up. And all the topics which we still need to discuss, like prices, recognition, how to deal with this scenario, we put it in a car park and we'll deal with it in day number 5. Is that okay with you? Okay, you earned your break. Hare Krishna. I'd like you to be back here at 10 minutes to 5. For the last session of today, Haribo. I see some new faces here. Pardon me? Okay, but are you gonna attend the entire course or? Okay.
You want the prize?
All right. Congratulations. Thank you for attending. I just wanted to know who is the new faces here in our course. What's your good name? Okay. Hari. Welcome. Hare Krishna. And your good name? Govinda Kripadas. Haribo. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. So, today we spoke about basic skills of book distribution, psychology of book distribution, customer care, and The last lesson of today is assessing our performance. Because you never really know how you're doing. Because in most cultures, people will not tell you. You know? In many cultures, it's not considered polite to give you feedback. You have to take a stick and threaten people to beat them. Otherwise, they will not tell you. Right? Because you remember how to make friends and how to make enemies? Huh? So, you remember? How do you make enemies? You give advice. You give free opinion, free advice all day long. And you make a lot of enemies. Huh? Yes, you find their faults. Ooh, then you're a bad person. So, in fact, companies spend major amounts of money to hire consultancy firms just to tell them what they're doing wrong, how they can improve their activity. In our Vaishnava tradition, we got three major ways on how to assess our performance. What kind of assessments do we have in our Vaishnava culture? Self-assessment, peer assessment, and superiors. Okay. So, how do these take place? Can somebody enlighten us on the matter of assessment? Yes, please.
Prabhupada said, somebody asked Prabhupada, how do I know that whether I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness or not? Prabhupada said, it's quite easy. If your lust and greed are decreasing, you're advancing in Krishna consciousness.
So that's something tangible. That's something you can see in yourself.
Yourself.
Am I lusty? Am I greedy or not? Introspection.
Yeah. So introspection is actually self-assessment.
How important is it for a preacher, for a book distributor to introspect? Most important? What else? Who feels that it's very important to introspect? Who feel it's not so important? I mean, after all, get the job done, right? Get the books out, no matter what people say. Why is it most important? Yes. By self-assessment, you have to constantly improve your performance. You remember ABS? You know what ABS stands for? Always better service. And that means after each and every exchange, we are assessing our performance. If that's not possible, at least at the end of the day, before you go to rest, you should reflect on your day. How was my day? How did I do? What was the outstanding and what was the downsides? And how can I improve my activities? Because sometimes we're too much caught in the moment. We're too much caught in the mode, in the heat of the moment, in the passion. And we can't really see. So then, a little later, after the exchange, we have to reflect and go back. And sometimes it means we have to clean up, you know. We get to that later on in the management part of the seminar. Tomorrow and day after tomorrow. The three-part cleanup. Because sometimes we have to clean up. So, how important is peer assessment? Because you might say, hey, these fellow brahmacharis, you know, they don't really know me. They're not really so mature. And after all, they're envious because I'm the best, you know, I'm number one. So whatever they're saying, who cares about what they have to say? Why do we put importance on peer assessment?
We have blind spots.
Very good. It's like you look into this room. Our eyes can see about 30% of the room. 70% we can't see. Because that's the way how we function. And in the same way we go through life. We see, if we see 30%, we'd be lucky. Most likely we only see a small part of reality. That's why in a car you got rear view mirrors. And in your life, that's your peers, that's your friends.
That's your loyal opposition. You ever heard of the concept of a loyal opposition? There are people who are loyal to you. But because they're your friends and they're loyal to you, sometimes they oppose you. You should be very happy if you have loyal opposition. You should be very thankful. If you have devotees who tell you, Prabhu, I think you're in Maya. I think you're going off the track here. I think you have to backtrack. You know? You have to take a few steps backwards. I think you missed the point. That's very helpful. Because many times we can't see the forest for the trees. You know that expression? You're so deep in the forest, you can't see the forest because there's too many trees around. So you're too caught up in the scenario. So you can't see the bigger picture. That's why we need friends in Krishna consciousness. So most of the assessment, actually, which is valuable, takes place in peer assessment and self-assessment too. Now, superior assessment, how do you get that? You remember Duryodhana and Yudhisthira? They went out. What was the problem? There's a squirrel running around here in the room. It's quite funny. So, the problem was, you remember the story? Duryodhana went out and he didn't find one person who was more qualified than him. And Yudhisthira went out and he didn't find somebody who was less qualified than him. So sometimes we might say, superior assessment? There's no superiors around, you know? It just doesn't exist. My guru is not here, he's on the other side of the planet, you know? And Krishna is kind of far away. So where is the superior assessment? But there always is superior assessment. Can you name me some superior assessment? Well-wishers, what else? Authorities, teachers, the scriptures, the Lord within our heart. That assessment is always there. If you don't know how you're doing, ask Krishna. Turn towards Krishna in your heart, ask Him. He'll let you know. Because that's the strong connection which we're trying to develop as devotees, right? To know. Is Krishna pleased? Krishna will let you know. So as part of that, we are going to watch a few videos now, because we had some of the heavy talking already done today, I think. We're going to watch some videos, and I'd like you to comment upon those videos. Now you remember our norms. We are not hating the sinner, but we're hating the sin. We're not playing the person, we're playing the ball. We're talking issues. We're not confronting people. Even though you see people here acting, and these are life distribution, these are life scenarios, and there's a lot of good things and also some not so good things which happen. The eyes and watch the hands, and then you can actually get a glimpse of what's going on. So if we get some action here, then we'll be back in no time. Srila Prabhupada made once a statement that he wants his devotees to be self-reliant and independently thoughtful. Would somebody like to comment on this? What does it mean to be self-reliant and independently thoughtful?
Be mature.
Be mature, yes.
Independently.
Who has the ability to apply the principles according to time, place, and circumstance? Yes, very good. What else?
Independent doesn't mean independent from other devotees, independent from the three modes of nature.
Means independent from the three modes of material nature? Yes, what else?
Who can police themselves?
who can assess themselves. I don't know, police, the word doesn't go that well with me, but you watch yourself, yes? What does it mean to be independently thoughtful? Like a lot of times in our movement, we have tried to make people materially dependent on us and materially dependent on the organization. Has it worked? It hasn't worked. Why has it not worked? Because it never stops. Because there is no end. And enough is never good enough. So what do we want? How do we want people to be dependent on the movement? We want people to be spiritually dependent, but materially independent. Now, the more the movement grows and it can accommodate also some of the social needs, some of the economic needs, some of the material needs, the more we'll actually have a community. And the more we'll actually build villages, we'll build communities, and we'll actually grow. Otherwise, we'll just talk temples, centers, like that. But the more a movement, a spiritual movement, can actually accommodate its members in their social needs, their economic needs, their need for shelter, their need for association, the more you've got a project which is flourishing. But the basic foundational principle is each and every devotee should be spiritually dependent on Srila Prabhupada and on the ISKCON movement. But we might not be able to facilitate and to fulfill people's material dependency and their material needs. And independently thoughtful, means you're not a speculator. It doesn't mean that you just have your own opinion on everything. But it means, as it was rightly put, you understand a principle and you know how to adapt it in real life, in the practice. It's not that you have a chip implant. You know that at initiation you get a chip implant? And then the guru sits in the control tower with his joystick and he goes remote control. Okay, front, left, right, back, stop. Now you open your mouth and you speak. Like that. The bodies are not robots. You know. You're real people. You have your own lives, your own likes, your own dislikes, your own personalities. And we're basing our lives on the principles of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But Krishna has given each and every one of us free will. Because without free will, there is no question of love. And that's something you figure out very fast, especially when you're in management, that everybody's got their own free will. And you can't do anything about it. You can't change that. The only thing you can do is you can appreciate that. And you can encourage them. And that day where you actually say, Prabhu, what would you like to do for Krishna? That's the day where people will start actually sharing their ideas, their aspirations, their dreams, their plans with you. And as long as you're shouting orders, people will avoid you. People will try to have as little to do with you as possible. Because they feel this person is not sensitive to my needs. Now you might say, I'm a brahmachari, I work on orders, that's all I do. Fine, fair enough. But at one point you'll be a senior brahmachari and you'll be in charge of a department. And there will be nobody there who will tell you what to do every day. In fact, everybody will come to you and will ask you, Prabhu, what should I do today? And then what? What are you going to do then? Then you have to be able to understand the principle and how to adapt it in practical real life. That means you have to be able to take responsibility, pick up the ball and run with it. Now that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to train quarterbacks. We're trying to train team leaders. People who can throw the ball and who are happy seeing other people catch it and run with it and score. That's what it means to be a leader. You're not the one who's scoring. You're not the one who gets the praise and who gets the medals. But you're happy to pass the ball to others. You're happy to empower others, to see others become successful. And that means your first and foremost quality has to be to encourage, to appreciate, to train, to empower, and to assess other devotees. Because many times, it's a little hard for them to assess themselves. Because in many places, it's just not the culture, you know. That element of introspection is just not inbuilt in our machine, in our make, especially in Kali Yuga, right? It's just not there in our gene. Either we're totally overconfident or we're totally lack of confidence. Either we have inflated false ego or we have depressed false ego. But it's still the same coin, just the opposite side of it. It's still a ahankar. So, culturally, this aspect of assessment is not there. But if we want to become a useful servant of this mission of Srila Prabhupada, we have to do this. We have to work on this. And that's what it means to be a servant leader. We serve to the other devotees. We serve them by sometimes telling them the things they don't want to hear. And making arrangements so they can learn. Allowing people to make mistakes. That's a sign sometimes of gratitude, sometimes of acceptance. Sometimes also it may mean negligence. It's a fine line. We're going to talk about this in the next days. Should we allow devotees to make mistakes or not? So we're going to see some videos. I told you we already had some talking. So I try to keep it to the minimum. Now, did you see the DVD which was produced by the BBT? Those videos by Srila Prabhupada. Did you see those before or not? No. You haven't seen them. Okay, good. Just to know. So, these are all different book distribution scenarios. Can somebody turn off the lights?
What?
Did anybody see? Okay. Now this is a real-time exchange, and it took 51 seconds. That's the time. 51 seconds. That's the time it took. From the point where I walked up to this car till both of them bought Prabhupada's books and moved away. So, when you're distributing books in real time, you got a window of opportunity of 5 to 10 seconds to make a difference. It's a short time. It's a very short time. So you have to be very alert. So let's start again from the beginning. That was this summer. I mean, last summer. In America, in the Warp Tour, distributing books, going to concerts. There's 20,000 young people going to every concert. And we had 46 shows in 56 days. And we drove 20,000 miles. It's 32,000 kilometers. So every day we distributed 6 to 8 hours, and we drove 6 to 8 hours. 5 guys in one van. I was one of the 3 drivers, and I was the cook. So, you see, I walk up to the car.
You guys are up early, what happened? What? You can go to sleep, right?
You don't see so much. But the first thing, you just walk up, you give him the book. I show him my ID badge, who we are. I say a few things. He gives a donation. At the same time, I greet his friend over on the other side of the car. I go over there, give him a book, take his donation, and I move on. It's 50 seconds for two people. Now, ordinarily, somebody wouldn't even see what's going on here. It's just too fast. So, if you want to assess the performance of another Sankirtan devotee, you have to put your hand on the pulse, you know. Like, you are leaders, you're temple presidents, you're Sankirtan leaders. You have to know what's going on. That means you have to go out there yourself into the field and actually do it in order to feel what is the pace, what can go wrong, where does it go off, how, what to do to bring it back on, what's good, what's not good, like that. Because this 50 seconds, what you see now, this is actually what happens. You don't see much. But there's a lot which is not visible, which is happening. The energy which you're projecting, the way you're dealing with people. Okay, any comments to this? Anything which you saw, which was striking to you? Now, it's not exactly, you know, Tirupati. So people are wearing shorts, you know, short pants. This is America. Welcome to America. People do all the different handshakes, you know, like this. They go with the hand like this, or all these different kind of signs. That's a different culture. Then, here we have some youngsters. You see what's happening so far? I go there, I meet them, I put a book in each and everyone's hand. I make sure that they all feel comfortable, they all feel happy, everybody gets some attention. You know, life is a game of attention. You have to give each other attention. If you don't give attention, people will get upset. They'll walk away. Or they'll hold it against you. Have you ever had the scenario where you didn't give attention to one person in the group and that person turned against you and ruined your sales? You ever had that experience? It happens a lot. You disrespect one fellow and he makes such a big stink that you wish you never met the guy. Just by not paying attention to that person, he ruined it completely. So, even some might not be interested. Just, you know, put everybody a book. Treat everybody nice. Now, out of these four kids, they're all like 14, 15-year-olds, you know, going to the concert. My goal is to find that one person who is interested, to find that one person who is connecting with me, who is actually listening to me. I know the others, they're just going for the show. They're just going for the laughs. They're not really serious. But if I find one person, I'm happy to work with that one person. Usually I try one person out of the group to buy the books for everybody. I just make a package price. I say, if you give $20, that's 1,000 rupees, then everybody gets a book. Try that once on the book table, you know? If you have families or groups, you say, if somebody gives 500 rupees, everybody gets a book. Try it. You will see one guy actually comes out, usually, and says, hey, I'm the generous guy, you know? Okay, boom. And he wants to show himself off as the generous fellow. You just try it. Give them the chance to be generous. Give them the chance to stand out. Like you see this fellow. He got the black shirt. He's going for the wallet. You see him smiling? That's him. 1,000 rupees right there. Boom. For all his friends. I'm the good guy. Okay? That's for you, my friend. Because not all the four would pull money out. It wouldn't happen. And it would take too much time, too much effort. So try to first get that one person and inspire that one person maybe to give for everybody. Sometimes they'll say, okay, I'll give and then later on we'll share and they pay him back or whatever, you know. But it's best to just deal with one person. And at the end, thank them, make them feel happy. Don't just walk away. Once the sale is done, it's not over. It's not that because the money came, that's it, that's the end of it. Thank them, make them feel happy, don't just walk away. Otherwise they feel, oh, okay, now you took my money and now it's over, you're not interested in me anymore. You know? Sometimes you can really upset people. If you drop it, you know, like you turn the charm on and then you turn it off, people really get upset by that. So, any comments? Yes.
When we get some Lakshmi or when we close the sale, that is the beginning of the relationship.
Yes.
Not the end of it.
Yes. Thank you. Now, sometimes you have people who are not such nice characters and you still have to deal with them. Just like in this scenario. This is Jagai and Madai and his friends.
Actually, it's a movie. It's a movie. It's a movie. It's a video.
Oh, it's a movie. Are you with the monks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on the same floor. Can you say something for the monks? I want you to say something for the monks.
Say something for the monks?
You repeat after me.
Repeat after you. Can I just say what comes to my mind?
No, you have to repeat after me.
All right, go.
Hare.
Hare.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare.
Hare.
Krishna.
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 Hare.
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 Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'm on the street,
not knowing what to do.
Hare Krishna.
Take it away,
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, what just happened? If you see those fellows, you would say, okay, straight down to hell, right, okay, Yamadutas, fine, go get these guys, right? Huh? That's the first reaction. I mean, you see the tattoos and the mohawk and the strange hair and no clothes, whatever. Huh? But the devotee, because he was very kind-hearted, he said, excuse me, can you repeat after me? Can you say something for me? And they were like, yeah, sure, what? And he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what happened? These guys, he met them later on, 3 hours later. They were chanting the entire time in the concert. They were chanting Hare Krishna. Because it became so addictive, you know? The holy name, it just got stuck in their heads. And they just continued chanting. They didn't know what happened to them. Why? Because the devotee was merciful. Because the devotee went beyond the call of... He saw these guys are not going to buy a book. Forget it. It's just not going to happen. You know? If they have money, they're going to spend it on beer. That's the way they are. But because he was kind-hearted and he put in some effort, he put in some time... They started chanting the holy name. They became ecstatic. And eventually, they will continue their process of devotional service. So sometimes, certain people, they can't take the book. Still, you know, have a nice exchange. Have a nice little exchange with that person. And never underestimate the power of the holy name. Ask people, after they took the book, do you believe in the power of mantra? You chant mantras? You can ask that everybody. Do you chant Hare Krishna with them sometimes after they take the book? Huh? They like it? Too much? Huh? So we should institute that as a standard practice, because people will really benefit from that experience. Then not only do they have the book, they have the holy name, then you give them some prasadam. We distributed 200 to 300 cookies, big prasadam cookies, in these shows. And there was like 70 bands playing on each and every venue. So all the management, all the bands, the security, the catering, the organizers, everybody got prasadam. So we had VIP passes, you know, all access passes. So we could go on the stage, off the stage, on the parking lot, in the section where people are selling, front, back, center, everywhere. We had all access because we gave them prasadam. Since 15 years this is going on. Because the devotees have cultivated the management by giving them prasadam and gifts, you know, nice Krishna art book, nice gifts. So they invite us every year on the tour and they're very happy to have us there. We're the only people who don't pay. All the other vendors, everybody has to pay. We're the only people who just come as, you know, charity for the whole thing. So it's quite amazing. And every year, tens of thousands of books get distributed. So that means tens of thousands of people get in contact with Krishna consciousness. Just because one devotee, he's not even a book distributor anymore. He's a lawyer now in New York, Atmanivedana. Disciple of Rompad Swami. He has cultivated these managers and he keeps in touch with them. And because of his endeavor, every year tens of thousands of people get Krishna's mercy. So in the same way, if all of you develop the same mood, the same idea, the same strategy, and you put out that mood, a lot of your congregation has so many contacts in so many places where it would be great to distribute books. And I'm sure you can get those permissions to distribute books in those places. We'll speak more about that in the coming days. Something is stuck.
What's going on here? That's a slow lineup. There's an individual.
This was in Calgary, Canada. There's a racetrack. You know what a racetrack is? Where they have car races. So there's a huge racetrack. They park all the cars outside on the racetrack, and then they have a stadium. And inside the stadium, they have the concert. So they lined up all the cars outside. And for us, it's very good, because if they line them up systematically, you can go car to car to car to car. We're like five guys. Sometimes the car parks, and in all four windows, the book goes inside. And the devotee talks to the person. So it was one of my best days. I did 350 Mahabooks on that day, working that car track.
That's a long line up there. Thank you.
saw what just happened? Somebody always wants to escape. Somebody always wants to get away from the group. You have to call them back. Get them back. Hand a book to them. Call them back. Any comments, please just raise your hand. Anything you like to say. Now, we're going to go to some better quality videos, which were on the DVD from the BBT, which you should have, and which you should have seen. We want to watch Bhrigupati Prabhu. He's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's been distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for about 36 years, almost 40 years, in Los Angeles and all over the United States.
Okay, thank you, dear.
Sir, excuse me. Are you a passenger?
Yeah.
Are you on a flight? Here, then you get a copy. I'm going to sign that. Are you a monk?
Yeah.
I'm very a monk. Good. I'm good.
Did you see what just happened? Are you a passenger?
Yes.
Yes. Are you a monk? Yes. Book goes in their hand.
Yes.
Now, he's a classic. You have to watch him. He's good.
Monk?
Buddhist monk, yeah.
Very nice. Here, let me sign.
Very nice. Give him compliments.
Sign this for you. This is on meditation and yoga. And that's almost a picture of Buddha.
Okay.
Yeah? We don't sell these. We just ask for a donation. Could you give a donation to help out? We just ask for a donation from the heart.
You see his body language? You see his expression? Just give a donation from the heart. You know, he really goes into it. He really means what he says. He puts feeling into it. He's not just, you know, throwing out words.
Oh. You know, can you understand?
When I see him distribute, you know what word comes to my mind? Urgency. The urgency to give people Prabhupada's books. And desperation. This guy is desperate. This guy really wants it to happen. Bad.
And right?
Yeah.
Could you pitch in a donation to help out?
Hurry up.
Just real quick. Just, there's nothing, no minimum. It's just from your heart. Just can you like give a dollar or two or something like that? From your heart. Thank you.
You can see. Now he gets a donation from the heart.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
So you saw what just happened? Less than a minute exchange. But because his attitude was positive, professional, he was very focused, he really knew how to deal with them, even though they were walking. You know, there's no table, there's no nothing. It's just, you're in the jungle. It's freestyle. And you just have to interact with the people like that.
Are you guys passengers, or are you just dropping somebody off?
Any comments? What do you see? Eye contact. What else? Involvement. What else? You see his body language? You see his gesture? You see how he's bowing down? Because he's a tall guy. And when you're tall, sometimes people are a little intimidated, you know? He's bowing down to them. Like that. He really has that, you know, okay, are you passengers or are you just dropping people off? You know, he's really living it. He's there. He's not just putting on an act.
Alright, you get a copy. We'll sign up for it. We're married or just friends?
Just friends.
Okay, well, we're too happy to be married.
You see what just happened? Okay, let's go back a second.
Okay, well, we're too happy to be married. This is our meditation.
Did you get it? Huh? Okay, you put it up there. Okay, I'll tell you what happened.
The lady was not interested. She walked
off. No, why was she not interested? Something he said ticked her off. What did he say? Are you married or friends? And then, what was the comment he made himself? or you look too happy to be married. She didn't like that comment, and she took off. You see that? You see that?
Yeah.
All right, you get a copy. We'll sign it for you. Married or just friends?
Just friends. Good boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay, yeah, you look too happy to be married. So this is not meditation. I'll do it for you real quick.
So how you start? She shook her head and walked off? So never do that. He's a friend of mine. He doesn't mind, you know. We do that to each other. That's what friends do. If you use a line which somebody might object to, even later on, he took the book. But I don't know how happy she will be about the whole thing. Because what he just said, it, you know, it turned her off. So be careful. You may think it's funny. That person may not think at all it's funny. We really hold it against you. Maybe she wants to be married to the guy, you know? And he makes this strange comment, you know, about marriage or whatnot. So better not get involved in these type of scenarios.
So I don't want to hold you up.
What are you doing now?
This helps to relieve stress. You heard of stress, right?
He signs his name in the book. You know, it's very personal. Have you ever tried? You sign the name, you give people a bit, you have a visiting card to the temple or something that you give. Do they ask you for your name sometimes? What's your name? Yeah. The more personal, the better. You know, people like it to be very personal.
Yeah. And I'm a monk. You know what a monk is? Not a punk, not a skunk. That's for you. We don't sell them. We just ask for a donation. Could you throw in a donation, help out? Where are you guys from? What part of the world?
England.
You hear what just happened?
Ask about him. Where are you from?
He said the donation part. He said the money part. And then he just continued talking. Okay, where are you from? This, that, the other thing. It's not like, okay, give me the money. Where is the money, man? 100 rupees, you know? But he talked about the money, the donation, and then he continued talking. So the person felt comfortable, the person felt at ease. He asked him, so where are you guys from? Oh, from England. Everybody loves to speak about themselves. Because sometimes you put out the money thing and it kind of, you know, irritates people. It's some static. So then you have to talk about something which they feel nice about. So you ask them, where are you from? Like that. Okay, how long are you staying? What are you doing? And then you get back to the topic a little later. Usually I mention money 3 times. Right in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. Not that you just wait till the end, till people figure it out. In the beginning, right in the beginning, I tell them, we're not selling these, people just give a donation. And then I continue talking, without even waiting for them to respond. So they've already heard that it's not free. You understand? It's already there. It's already in the head. But you just continue, carry on your presentation. Then later on, many people at one point, they just take out the money and they want to pay you because you already said it's for a donation. So they themselves start reciprocating. Whenever they're ready, they will tell you when they're ready. Then I mention it usually in the middle, you know, like when I ask them, okay, in the bookstores, how much you think this will cost? And at the end, we get to money part also. But this is
okay.
Airport.
London? Yeah, that's great. Our 800 email and website's in it.
Right, well done.
All right, thank you, man.
What did he just do here at the end? He said our 1-800 number and our email and website is in the book. Keep in touch. Check it out. Read it. Our contact is in there. Have fun. Have a nice time. What did that just do to the person? It means the ball is in your court. The door is open anytime. We're happy to hear from you. Have a great day. It's very important, you know, because people will remember. Oh, okay, this person actually likes, you know, you can actually talk to these people. Even though it was very short, but he gave that impression. So besides that little thing there with the girl, I would give this about a 7 out of 10. Because the way how he stopped them, the way how he interacted, he gave him the book, he presented it, the intensity. You saw how intense he was? His eyes, his hands, really intense, totally absorbed.
Okay, let's see some more.
Okay.
Do you like these kind of clips? You learn something from this? Okay.
Girl, excuse me, are you passengers or are you just dropping people off? Okay, you guys get a copy, we'll sign that.
See what he does? He's just bowing down, you know? He's like, you know? Like not like deep bowing down, but like, you know, in a friendly kind of way.
Are you students or undercover movie stars or
no,
students? Good ones?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, you look smart. That's what gave you away. This is actually on meditation.
What did he say? Yes, students, undercover movie stars. Good student. Yes, yes, you look smart, huh? Vijay Prabhu, he asked them, so who's the smartest amongst you? And they usually point to one guy who like that. You know, it's something cute to say. People like it.
All right.
Yep, and it helps to relieve stress. You heard of stress, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
And I'm a monk. I guess you know what a monk is, right? Uh-huh. Not a punk, not a skunk. That's for you guys.
Okay.
And we don't sell these. We just ask for a donation. Could you throw in a donation, help out? Where are you headed today? Sorry.
We're going to Germany.
Oh, sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No.
Nothing.
What did you just do?
Yeah,
they said they're going to Germany. He started speaking one line in German. Sprechen Sie Deutsch. Do you speak German? That was what it was in German. That's probably the only line he knows in German. But it was good enough, you know, to make them feel comfortable. Like you might know 10 languages, just 2 or 3 sentences in each language. But I'm convinced it will make a big difference in your book distribution because people will really appreciate it. Isn't it? If you just learn, welcome to Tirupati, thanks for coming here. If you just learn that in the different languages, that will increase your book distribution tremendously. Now, if that's the case, why can't we learn it? Huh? Brahmachari, what do you think? We're learning shlokas, we're learning so many things. Why can't we learn a few simple lines?
In their own Russian language, the same.
Yeah, phonetic things. Language, just.
And they spoke and everyone is appreciated. And they thought, oh, he's speaking Tamil. The Russians speak Tamil, so they are impressed.
Did they distribute many books?
Yes.
You might even read it from a piece of paper. It works. People like it. They appreciate your effort. One devotee, a lady, she was distributing books in New York. Her voice was weak. Many times she lost her voice. So she wrote on a piece of paper. These books are spiritual books on meditation and yoga. Please give a donation, $5 or $10. God bless. Thank you very much. And I have lost my voice. I'm sorry. And she gave that, handed that to people and smiled. And they read it. They gave her the money and took the book. And they were very happy. So you might be deaf and dumb. You can still distribute books. Because this process is so powerful. It's not about language. It's about what mood, what spirit, what energy you portray.
Yeah. I'm Bissin. You speak fluently?
Yeah, I'm from Germany.
Okay, oh wow, okay. Well, then you speak English really well. Here, I'll show you this real quick.
All right.
What did you just do? No, before that. She said that she speaks fluently German, and he appreciated her for that. And then he said, I'm going to show you this real quick.
Have you ever heard the expression, what goes around comes around?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Karma. That's a real good picture of it. Okay. How's your karma today? Okay.
You ever ask that people, how's your karma today? Huh? I always ask that. People really like that. It's a good line. You know, how's your karma today?
Then you might say, hey, your karma is great. I mean, after all, you're here in Tirupati, right? You made it, top of the hill. Congratulations. And sometimes people will say, you know, it's so-so, or like this or like that. It makes them introspect. It makes them a little thoughtful about, hey, how is my day going? How is my life going? How am I doing? That's very good. So instead of saying, come on, it's not going so good, or this or that, or making negative comments, you ask them a question, and you let them do the thinking.
Both look pretty happy.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
Tired, but...
Yeah, that's traveling. How the soul continues even after the body's finished? No, no. And the main subject of these books is...
Saw what just happened? They spaced out a little bit. They were a little disconnected with the whole thing. So he asked them, are you happy? You guys okay? You doing fine? Huh? Okay? Everything's good? Oh, you're just traveling like that? You know, you just eased out, relaxed. Because sometimes you get really into the book and the people don't, you know, you lose the people. Then you have to get back to the people. And you have to connect again with them. And then what else happened? What was the next thing? Huh? Yeah, there was an interruption. He was not disturbed by it. And also, he asked them about something in the book, and they didn't know. They hadn't heard. And he just carried on. He let them off the hook. You understand that expression, letting somebody off the hook? It means you don't rub it in. You don't use it against them. If somebody doesn't know, he hasn't heard, he's not aware of, he's not so intelligent, just carry on in a nice and friendly way. Don't put them on the spot. Like, you may have some people, they're not so smart, they're not so educated, they're not so articulate, they're not so interested. You just deal with them according to their level, you know, on a nice level. So they will be able to appreciate.
How to go to higher consciousness. So we're actually giving out 50,000 copies worldwide. And we don't sell them, we just ask for a donation. Could you girls give a donation to help out? There's no minimum, it's just from your heart. Okay?
See if I've got anything, I don't know.
What time is your flight?
It's 2.
Okay, so...
What did he just do? Spoke about a donation, then he asked, what time is your flight? Relax the situation. Because he saw that they're not that hot about getting the book, you know? They're not that interested. But he said what the book is about, you know? Higher consciousness, karma, reincarnation, how to be happy and peaceful. Yeah, we're putting out copies like that. Can you give a donation? Okay, what time is your flight? You see, the mind is busy accepting and rejecting, accepting and rejecting, sankalpa vikalpa, sankalpa vikalpa, constantly, that's constantly going on. It's a game, like table tennis, you know? Ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, ping pong. So, if you learn the art of how to deal with people's minds and how to deal with your own mind, you can be a very successful book distributor and you can be a good preacher too. Because basically you have to deal with people's minds. Now, if you can just deal on the level of the heart, that's great. But a lot of times the mind comes in the way, our own mind and the mind of the person. So you still have to know how to deal with people's minds.
You're okay. Yeah. You're not late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
I have change if you need change for a big bill. And where do you go to school?
It's actually in a town called Cloverdale, up north. It's north of San Francisco.
I know Santa Rosa.
Yeah, it's right. It's like...
Okay, is there any chance you could pitch in a bit?
So always ask them where they're from. And then if you know a place just nearby, even if it's in the same state, you know, like a person may tell you, I'm from Maharashtra, and he says he's from Pune, and you say, I know Bombay. They will say, oh yeah. For him, that's close enough. You know what I mean? It's home. You may say UP, you know. So even the town is 800 kilometers away. He doesn't care because you know. Some place in his district or in his state, he'll be happy. You ever tried that? Does it work? Very much. because there's no place like home. Right?
More? Help us out with the printing?
I got look.
Have a look.
Yeah, it's actually about 30 minutes, 45 minutes away.
Yeah, I went up to Santa Rosa. I was distributing books up there on the campus there at the school. Nice part of California.
At the junior college?
Yeah, at the junior college. Right.
That's where my dad teaches.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Far out. Well, that's a small world, huh?
Yeah.
So there you go. We print these books for $5. Generally, people give $5, $10. You just do the best you can. I have change if you need change. No problem.
Yeah.
Do you want change for that?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, not a problem.
Change for that, please. I'll just give
you all my... Yeah, sure. Just pitch in whatever you can spare. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our 800 email and website is in the books.
All right.
So if you have any questions, just give us a ring or just check us out on the web.
All right.
Okay? Anyways, thank you, girls. Have a safe flight. I hope you enjoy the books.
Okay.
What just happened? Yeah, no, before that, the money part.
You have them with the change.
Change, yes. In the beginning, he said, anything you give, anything from the heart, anything's fine. And then they gave him a little bit of change. And then he asked for more. Did you get that part? Did you feel the strange energy, strange vibration? If you tell people anything you give is okay, and then later on you ask them for more, that's not good. Shouldn't be done. That's the old way. Some of us old folks still do the old way. But it's not good. Either you have a fixed price, or if you have free books or for anything, then you give it for anything. But don't say anything and then you want more and you want more and you want more. Because it will fry people out. So even though one lady, she gave him later on a bill to change, and it kind of worked, but it was still a little awkward feeling there about the money part. Did you get that vibration, that thing? The other just gave him some coins, you know. One coin dropped, never mind. But the point is, people are very sensitive when it comes to money. Because there's so much funny stuff going on, you know, about money. So they're very sensitive. And if they see, especially monks, especially in India, something is going on, like some change up, something unclear, avoid it at any cost. Just avoid it. Make clear rules and policies. Any comments? Huh?
Because here it's so fast. It involves a lot of risk.
Of course. And risk means sometimes it goes in your favor and sometimes it goes in the other person's favor. And that's part of it. Sometimes you're just falling a little short of the expectation. That's what happens.
It
will cost more, yeah. Definitely. Okay, now we see Vijay in action.
Excuse me, you guys. So who's the most intelligent between the three of you?
Us honorable
students. Look at this artwork.
You heard that? Who is the most intelligent amongst the three of you? They all point to that guy. And they all laugh. Everybody thinks.
Here, guys, look at this here. And see, this shows how the soul is going through the body from boyhood to youth to old age. He's been there a while, meditation. That's Vishnu. You know Shiva, huh? Wow, he reads this. We help people in suffering conditions and print books, so all the nice people give a donation, so give a donation to help out. Can you give a pinga, a donation? And these are for you.
So what happened, the so-called smart guy, he was just on the phone, you know. Don't get upset. Somebody doesn't want to deal with you, somebody doesn't want to talk with you, let him be on the phone, you know. You deal with the people who want to listen to you.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
Oh, one tip on the Bhagavad Gita. The first chapter is like an introduction. The second chapter starts the teaching, so don't get stuck on the first chapter. And the address to our temple is in the back of the book also. Okay? Thank you.
Did you get that? Very important. First chapter is the introduction, and there's a lot of names. So don't get discouraged by that. Because many people pick up the Gita, they get into the first chapter, and it's all names. And it's a little more than they can handle. Because they usually used to read, you know, columns about this big in the newspapers. So then they stop. So tell them, if it's too much for you, just start in the second chapter with the teachings. And the addresses are in the back.
Yeah. Bye.
Comments? Very good. Nice. Solid.
Excuse me? I'm from California. Where are you from?
Norway.
Gurag, gurag. Hey, hey. Are you students, teachers, or musicians?
Students, I guess.
Who's the most intelligent between you?
I don't know.
That's a tough one. It's a nice hard work. Can you read Swedish?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's one of the great classics of India on philosophy and wisdom, yoga and meditation. Here, I'll show you some nice artwork. That one's for you. Here, this is for her. It's written originally in Sanskrit. You probably want to read the Swedish. You're probably a little rusty on the Sanskrit there. But it's one of the great classics. There you go. But I'm a monk. You've heard of monks, right?
Yeah.
We help people in suffering conditions and print books, so all the nice people give a donation. So give a donation to help out. And these are for you.
Okay.
Yeah, most people give 100 or so, so for a good cause from your heart. You have good hearts. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Get what I have.
Okay, thank you very much. Always more to learn, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And you take that. So you all have one now.
Yeah. Okay?
You have a wonderful day, okay?
Yeah.
The address to our temple is in the back of the book, but we also have a restaurant here.
Okay.
So come and visit. Bye.
Okay, what just happened? They were not the smartest, they were not the brightest of the bunch, but because he dealt with them in a very nice way, they were appreciative. And they all got a good impression, and they all took a book and gave a donation. So that's what happens a lot of times. You see, in the West, we don't have the scenario where people go on pilgrimage, where they go to see the Lord, to offer their respects, and all that, you know? This is usually the standard case of persons. But they can make rapid spiritual advancement too, and they can take up Krishna consciousness. So there's no hard and fast rules. Never think this person is qualified, this person is not qualified. He can take it, she cannot take it. Never think like that, because you never know who comes to Krishna consciousness. You've seen his body language, you've seen his hands, his expression, his eyes. Always people kept busy. Okay. Now, let's go to India.
Excuse me. Hi, can I stop you for one moment? My name is Bridge. What's your name?
Raji.
Raji, whereabouts are you from?
London.
Oh. London.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to young people that are coming to the temple today.
Okay.
And just asking them what the experience of the temple was today.
How was it? We've been in Mumbai for 2 weeks.
Okay.
The first time I've been.
Do you know what? It's really busy here. Do you mind just coming over here?
Yeah. No. It's...
Okay, what just happened? This is Juhu Temple Courtyard, just in front of the shoe stall of the entrance. This is Bridgesh. He's Indian origin, but grew up in London. He approaches this young girl. What just happened?
Ask for the experience, what she had.
Yeah, he just shook her hand, you know? It's just kind of a little uncommon, but okay, it's Bombay. And he's a London boy. And she's more westernized. Yeah, giving value to her opinion in which way? By asking her, okay, what's your opinion of the temple? Meaning, there has to be a reason. What's the purpose? Why do you talk to me? We're trying to find out what's people's experience of the temple. I like that. It's a good line. It's a good opener, you know? Like that. Like when you're at the book table, ask people, what's your experience of Tirupati? It's like asking them for their opinion. You remember how to win friends? Ask for advice. Ask for people's opinions. Everybody will love you. You saw how she started smiling just because he asked her for advice? He wasn't telling her, do this, do that, do the other thing. He just asked for her opinion. Like that.
Great.
So would you? So you're here on holiday or something?
Yeah.
With your family?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're having, okay, this is your mother here?
It's my mother, yeah.
Hi, Hare Krishna, nice to meet you. Whereabouts in London are you from?
Near Watford.
Okay, I live in Barnet, North London.
Yeah, I live Northwood.
Oh, Northwood, that's like Harrow, right?
Yeah, in between Harrow and Watford, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, basically, my main purpose today, actually, is just to speak to people and see if they understand the philosophy of what's going on inside the temple.
Not as much.
Okay, what just happened? He's a very intense fellow. He's kind of jumpy. You know, he's young, he's jumpy and frisky, and he's all over the place and this and that. Some things I like. I like his intensity, his sense of purpose, his focus. What turned me off a little bit was that he completely neglected the mother, you know? He's just dealing with the girl. And the mother, you know, it's like, okay, oh, you're the mother? Okay, all right, I'm talking to your daughter now. You just sit there and wait. That can really backfire. That can really turn against you. I mean, he is talkative, so he, at the end, after about 20 minutes, he actually sells her a book. But this can flip at any time. You know, it's kind of icy. So it's always good to see. But actually, the amazing thing to me is that whoever you are, wherever you are, if you put in a sincere effort to present Prabhupada's books to people, people will actually reciprocate. People will actually listen, they'll take you seriously, they'll believe you, and they take the book. That's what I see. So it's amazing how sometimes new devotees who know very little about our philosophy and even our movement can present Prabhupada's books, and people will actually, you know, they will be actually very appreciative. So now, it's, oh gee, it's 6 o'clock. We should stop here. Or do you want to see more movies? You always have to be prepared for the answer, you know? The answer always comes. Okay, so you have seen some scenarios. You can make your own scenarios. Like sometimes we think we're chanting good rounds. Have you ever recorded yourself chanting Hare Krishna? Who has done that so far? How did you like it?
Not really much.
Not really much. But was it helpful?
Yes, of course.
It was helpful. Okay. So sometimes it's a little bit brutal, you know?
When your tongue, your mouth gets dry.
Yeah. It's a little heavy. So sometimes we have to do what's like called hidden camera. Huh? You go out there and you just... One time I was in Buenos Aires in Argentina. And they played a trick on me. They didn't tell me, but the whole temple came out to watch me. And they also filmed me with hidden camera. And later on they showed it to me. And it was kind of embarrassing. But it's actually very good, you know? You know, that's what politicians, that's what sports people do. They watch their own speeches. They watch their own performances. How did the game go? That's the first thing they do afterwards. They watch and they analyze exactly. See this move, see how this went, see how that went, what he said, how they reacted. It's very important. So don't be scared of that. You know, do that to you sometimes. Record your japa. carry with yourself a recorder and record your talks to the people and see how much you're actually on track and how much you get off track. It's very good. Very good way how to become more aware of how we're dealing with the public. So today was focused on skills. Tomorrow we're going to speak about different methods of how to do book distribution, external and internal challenges, lifestyle and standards, about mission, sense of mission, and sources of strength and inner inspiration. Thank you very much for your patience and your perseverance. We greatly appreciate your effort. See you back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock sharp. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada, Chancellor Book Distribution ki. Gur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.